Hey, welcome to Adults, a podcast about life, love, booze, and whatever else we're talking about today. Hey, what's the most adult drink you group of fine gentlemen can think of?
Shirley Temples.
Roy Rogers.
Okay. Yeah.
Virgin, I mean, does it have to be alcoholic? Like, that probably has to be.
What's your version of the most adult drink?
If you're a grown-up, yes, it has to be.
I'd say champagne.
No.
No.
Like, yeah. I feel like...
It's like when you're doing a very adult celebration.
Here's one that I like very much, but very recently, and I always was just like, why would you order that? Negroni.
Yeah, yeah.
Like anything with...
With a digestif.
Yeah, I don't know. Campari. Campari, yeah.
That's just
nasty.
Very European, I think.
More. See, that's what... But like, Europeans are like sophisticated, classy. Grown up.
You know what? I've gone so far through the like alcohol phase that I've just gone back around again, and I think it's cool to just drink water.
Water's the most.
I'm old enough to know that I can just fucking drink water.
Now when I drink alcohol, though, I drink water every drink, because I didn't used to do that. I used to just wake up like a spring chicken.
Yeah.
Well, one glass of water for every alcohol.
Yeah, that's
drink.
Appropriate.
Jorge, you don't drink a lot. What's your thought on this?
I just drink tequila when I drink.
Okay. Really? That's all you drink?
It seems pretty grand.
Is it shots?
You sip it?
Yeah, it's no, I don't sip it. It's mostly shots.
Really?
Yeah. No, I'm serious.
When I drink tequila, I get fucked up. How do you avoid that?
So it's really weird because if I drank anything else, it wouldn't take much. But I can't claim to be completely immune. But it must be in the family because my brother, he's the same way. He's a total lightweight. But I've seen my brother polish off a whole bottle of tequila and just be as sober as anybody.
Really?
It's crazy. Yeah.
Did you drink a lot when you were a kid?
No, I did not. No, I came to it in college, and for whatever reason, it just doesn't impact me quite as hard as like everything else, even though I know for most people it's the flip.
What, like mezcal? Like, what's the difference between this?
Isn't mezcal a type of tequila, or is it the other way around?
I think so. I mean, I have no idea, but it's kind of hip people talk about mezcal.
I think mezcal and tequila are both made with agave, but I think they're different types of drinks.
If only we had the internet.
I'm not a tequila expert.
Mezcal is a distilled alcoholic beverage.
All right,
well,
maybe we go around and like...
Is that what it says?
Go around
it
and
doesn't say it's a type of fucking tequila.
What
though,
did
does
your
it?
Dad drink?
My dad drinks Crown Royal water with a twist of lemon.
My dad
Rolling
drinks
Rock.
IPAs. He loves IPAs. Rolling Rock? Your pops
Rolling
like Rolling
Rock?
Rolling
Rock.
The green
oh,
beer.
Wow.
Was your pops drinks what? Black Label?
My pops doesn't drink alcohol.
Did he ever?
Never.
Never drink it his whole entire life.
His whole life, he says he's never had it.
My dad used to drink a Coors or a Rolling Rock, just one every day after work.
Really? Okay. Well, fucking, it seems like Rolling Rock is the most adult
Rolling
drink.
Rock, baby.
We've
okay.
come to it.
All
right, let's get a drink of our own.
But in the summer, we'd play, like, once a month.
Once a month.
Yeah.
Pretty rare.
It's a good thing I'm taping for all this fucking personal shit that you're talking about now instead of the interesting stuff you were talking about earlier.
When's moving?
Thanks, couple weeks.
Oh, my God.
Hot Mike. This is like This is like, what was that show on HBO where the guy, like, went to the bathroom and he's like, I fucking
killed
her.
What did he do?
He's the like, guy who killed...
Yeah, he killed the girl. And he's like, they got me. Fucking killed her. It's like Hot Mike.
Yeah, I know you're talking.
And they had an interview with him, and they were talking to him, and they were
so
like,
funny.
They're
like
getting him to talk about it, and then he goes to the bathroom, and it turns out he has a Hot Mike on the whole time, and he's in the bathroom just kind of talking to himself. Like, yeah, I fucking killed her. It's like the
that's
jackal
like the best
or something
thing
like that.
You could ask for in a documentary.
Right. Yeah. All
right, we got to record. Let's go. What's the topic?
Recording.
It's a great show. Like that's like the best ending for a documentary you could ever ask for.
That's
something
crazy.
That like really closes it out.
They close it out.
The guy
did he get arrested?
That he killed her.
Did he get arrested?
I don't think they're bringing him back
to trial in LA.
Hey, you're a
really?
Lawyer, right?
Jinx.
That's not a confession.
Jinx.
Yes.
Jinx.
Yes. Yeah,
I was thinking of Lynx or something.
Yes. Yes. Jinx.
Would that be considered a confession? I don't think it would be. I could mutter anything.
Yeah.
I think.
Exactly.
I think his contention is that he was just angry about the interview and like he was in the of course I fucking killed her. Fuck you guys.
Exactly.
You know, he was like talking himself.
I mean, it's great for a documentary.
Yeah.
It's awesome, but it doesn't. In a court of law, it's like pretty useless. Probably.
Yeah. All right. Yeah. So, do you want to switch this segment out and talk about media sources?
No, we talk whatever. We're talking about, what's this segment?
Sam's like he's sort of like Steve's bitter bitch or something. He's like,
whatever. So you want to talk about your dream guest on a podcast?
Yeah, let's do that.
The news?
Okay. Shit, I don't even know who I'd do. Yeah, let's do that.
Fuck it. We'll do it live.
Live.
Yeah, I killed her.
Yeah. Oh, fuck. Welcome back, listeners. This round, we're drinking an Anderson Valley Goza, Briny Melon Goza by Anderson Valley. Sour beer, a little bit of salty finish. But anyway, the topic of this round
is... Let's start this off with a nice little cheers.
Cheers. The topic of this round is your perfect guest on a podcast, a vlog, a video editorial, or just to sit down and fucking talk to. Somebody who could stand these topics and talk about it.
You just want to talk to somebody.
Yeah, who do you want to talk to? Who do you want to talk to?
You just want to talk to somebody.
I just want to talk to somebody.
Does that be recorded?
I just want to... Yeah. We're going to fucking record it for posterity. No, it doesn't. I don't care. You make of it the hypothetical.
It's like this podcast. Like, no one's going to listen to it.
Exactly.
I want Gordon now.
You got him.
Where is he?
He's like... So
let me get this straight. You go by a pseudonym on the fucking podcast. But you just threw out somebody's actual name who's not involved in the podcast at all. You piece of shit.
I sense you don't like that.
No, it's fine. And I'm not going to cut it either. Fuck you, bro.
Fuck you, too.
Dude, no.
AKA
come on the podcast.
Get out here and answer some goddamn questions.
You can use a pseudonym. All right, I got a couple that I'll throw out there. A couple that are still living.
Still living.
Do they have to be living?
No, so living are dead. But I'll throw out a couple of my living ones first. I think people that could deal with this format and kind of thrive in it definitely be way better than us. Maybe Louis C.K.,
sure.
Seth Rogen and Lady Gaga.
Lady Gaga.
Yeah, I think she could do with this podcast.
Sounds
she's weird.
Like a fun dinner party.
She's fucking weird. She could do it. Have you seen that video of her just walking around naked that she decided to do at the peak of her career as like just art?
No.
It's just her like in the wilderness naked.
So what's wrong with that?
Nothing's wrong with it. It's amazing
she would
be willing to do that at the peak of her career, get naked
like
for video cameras.
Yeah, it's not a bold move.
How's that bold?
I don't know.
Madonna did that
like
shit
it's pretty
like
fucking weird.
All Madonna did was walk around naked.
Okay.
All right.
Like
you put clothes on, it was
you got me. You got me. Who do you invite, Samsonite?
So, like, we could do dead people?
Yeah.
You can defend most.
George Washington, you fucking loser.
I don't know if he'd have, like, a great conversation. You know, I think...
He'd have to take out his wooden teeth to talk.
The most fun president to talk to would be Teddy Roosevelt.
Ted,
why is
that?
He's just fucking full of energy.
Lions and stuff?
Yeah, I see that.
I mean, he started the National Park System. He, like, fought in the Spanish-American War. He's like the bull. What is it? Bull horse? What was his thing?
Bull moose.
Bull moose. Yeah, he was like all over the place. Like
he
so,
he was kind of a vicious like murderer too, right? Like he went.
He was a soldier.
Yeah. So like he, I think he's a wild man.
Yeah, I mean wasn't that what they were called, the like something.
The roughnecks.
Roughnecks.
Leatherneck.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Roughnecks. I think you're roughnecks.
Roughnecks.
Yeah, so they...
I think we glorify it as...
But I think he has, like, a lot of energy, a lot of life, and he was, like, came from, like, a rich background, but he'd be, like, he'd have a lot of good stories, I think. Probably more interesting than, like, I don't know, probably his what, nephew, FDR, would probably be interesting, but...
George W.?
They're all. I bet every president would be interesting, but I just think Teddy Roosevelt is probably the most.
That I like.
Do you think they would live with the format, though? Do you think they'd be okay with being asked stupid questions and kind of being roasted about their answers?
Teddy Roosevelt, maybe.
No, I think Teddy.
Teddy would have fun.
I think Teddy would have fun.
Yeah, I feel like you could have a beer with that guy.
I think most presidents would have a problem with it. Jimmy Carter, maybe he could live with it.
I think he seems
like a nice guy. He'd just
Billy.
Do it to be nice.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I think Billy would do it.
Billy.
I think Barry would do it. Billy would do it if he had a big-haired woman here, too.
I mean, the idea of this is, like, you're getting them in today, in the present day.
Yeah.
They're prime.
I would love to get,
Teddy
Roosevelt's
dead.
Like, Thomas Jefferson and Ben Franklin on the line and be like, hey, guys, what do you think about what's going on?
They're like,
I think Ben Franklin could hang with this format.
Yeah. Like, Ben Franklin would be all about
this format. What's this internet you speak of?
Not exacting for this format. I don't think the standards are that exacting. I think pretty much anyone could hang with this format.
I think
some people would be insulted to be involved in this. Some people would feel insulted that, like, wait, you brought me on here to talk about my life, and now you're asking me stupid questions about who would win in a fight between a squirrel and a duck.
It's sort of like, I don't know if you saw, like, one of the last interviews with Jerry Lewis.
Yeah.
But
it'd
be like that interview.
Yeah.
Where he was just like old man curmudgeon. Like, he just decided, you know what? I'm going to be the biggest prick of somebody. Like, so the guy would ask him a question. He's an inexperienced guy, and he'd be like, because.
Yeah, he would one-word answer them every single question.
So Teddy Roosevelt would be a barrel of laughs. What do you think, Jorge?
Who's your guest on a video editorial, since that's your thing? By the way, we got Jorge in the house tonight. He's from Silent Majority of This. Go check it out.
Thank you.
We'll give him a plug at the end. Point at the end.
So I'm going to pick somebody. You can be like, what? But only because he was so crazy, I would just like to see what level of craziness he would come up with here. I would pick Idi Amin.
Oh, wow.
Really?
Yes, I would.
He was a very gentle dictator.
Exactly. I love that movie, Last King of Scotland.
He was
I would pick Forrest Whitaker.
he's so off his rocker. I just love to see what he'd do. And how long it would take him before he'd take a bottle and smash it over one of our heads.
Yeah,
he'd kill us in under 5 minutes.
Yeah, would he have one of us skinned? Like, what would... How would he top himself?
I would do it over Skype.
And then I'd have to take either Chris Rock or Dave Chappelle, one of those two guys.
Are they all the same to you, Corey? Why don't you pick one? They're different people.
Maybe like Richard Pryor.
What do you think about Eddie Murphy?
Eddie Murphy. It'd have to be early Eddie Murphy, though. Not
Delirious Eddie Murphy? Yes. Raw Eddie Murphy?
Yes.
Saturday Night Live Eddie Murphy?
Do you think Eddie Murphy's...
Boy. You look mighty cute in them jeans.
That Eddie Murphy. I need that Eddie.
Do you think Eddie Murphy's still funny on the inside?
Eddie Murphy figured out how you can make a lot of money without stressing out.
I think so. Yeah. I think he fell into the Adam Sandler formula of, like, I know how to make a lot of money just, like, playing
doing
easy,
donkey
hanging out
voices.
With my friends and doing stupid shit.
But you know he's disavowed his early work.
Has he?
Yeah. Well, he's disavowed his early work, which is really...
What do you mean disavow, like...
He thinks it's terrible.
Really?
And that's his great stuff.
That's just horrible.
Yeah.
So he carried Saturday Night Live for like 4 or 5 years.
He totally
years.
Did. He single-handedly resurrected Saturday Night Live.
That's sad. I didn't know that he'd gone that far.
Yeah, he's out there.
What do you got, women?
Well,
collective soul.
Well, probably. I'm going to stick with probably someone white.
Okay.
Just for the name.
Well, we expected.
I'd probably go with one of the Blues Brothers.
Which one?
What?
John?
Belushi.
I think. So if you chose Dan Aykroyd, do you get him at his prime or do you get him right now? Since he's still alive.
I don't give a fuck.
You don't want Dan Aykroyd?
It could be him at any point of his life. In fact, he's probably smarter now than he was back then.
Do you think so? I think he'd be kind of a bore.
Why?
Not boring. I think he would not like the format. Yeah, I think he'd be one of those Jerry Lewis
things. You'd rather have Belushi anyway, right?
I'd
have Belushi
over it kind of Jerry Lewis thing.
Belushi.
I think he'd be like, yeah, guys, 1979 call. That's when I would have done this.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's...
Belushi would be fun.
I'd do Belushi. He's pretty nuts.
Pre-death.
He was doped up
one time. Pre-death Belushi, guys. That would make him far more interesting, I think.
Yeah. Zombie Belushi wouldn't be very good on this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You got anything, Hilfiger?
I mean, I think Benjamin Franklin. Or Thomas Jefferson, or one of these guys who was like who founded the country. I'd be interested to hear their opinion on like how are things going. Like,
is this what you guys think?
What you expected?
Is this what you guys wrote about?
Yeah, I think it'd be interesting to see that because it's like those guys risked their lives. They put their everything like that was very passionate to them, and it's like curious
but
to see.
They didn't make America great again. They just made America great.
Yeah, they made
it
America
feels like
great.
They left part of the again.
Well, they did let slavery hang out. They were like, that's cool.
Yeah, there'd be a lot of awkward conversations with Jefferson about that, I feel like.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, but if I could have an hour with someone in a room, probably Allen Iverson. Just
That's the one.
Yeah.
We talk about practice? We talk about podcasts?
We're talking about podcasts. We're not talking about games. We're talking about
podcasts.
What would
you ask Allen Iverson? Would you talk about his time at Georgetown?
You know, like... That's a good question. Like, it wouldn't be about Georgetown.
It'd be like a free flowing.
I think it'd
like,
be about his.
What'd you have for dinner?
I think his early life's really interesting. Like that guy went through. Like he shouldn't have been playing at Georgetown. He got very lucky to be able to have that.
Did he have like a? Was he one of the guys like a rich family adopted him or something like that? No.
He came from.
No.
Well, no. What I'm saying is like it's some like blind side, right? Where they came from, like a poor.
No,
guy
not at all. Not at all. Not at all. He. I mean, he lived with a friend's family. In Newport News, Virginia, but like it wasn't a rich family. It was because his mom was, I don't know what she was doing, but like it wasn't a great story. And I mean, he was going to jail before he went to Georgetown. And so, I mean, I'd be curious to hear about more his early life because I'm pretty familiar with everything from Georgetown on through like the NBA, but like like, what was it that, like, kept him motivated and driven? Because you have to be that successful at anything.
Is he broke now? He's broke, isn't he?
I think so. I mean, there's a basketball league coming out this year. It's like a 3-on-3 thing. And he's, like, one of the guys who's, involved in it. So he's still trying to make his money.
Right.
Didn't he have a deal where, like, though he had, like, a annuity that would give him, like, $2 million a year or something?
The Memphis Grizzlies?
Or something like that. Yeah, I felt like he didn't. Like, some financial advisor, like, set him up decently, so even if he blew all his money, he'd always get, like, $1 million a year.
I thought that was checks. A baseball player.
That's a different... You're thinking about Bobby Bonilla, that's a different contract.
Yes.
Where the Mets thought they were being really smart, they'd give him, like, $2 million a year rather than paying him, like, $20 million.
Right.
And they gave it to getting like, for, like,
it's like
40 years.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, yeah, I think he is one of those things where, like, I think he took care of a lot of people.
Yeah,
that he grew up with.
You're the Tim Hardaway thing.
Well, he said, yeah, I read an interview with him where his attitude towards it was these people raised me, these people made me. Like, he really felt that way. Like, he had a financial obligation to them, and it was a lot of people.
You hear the Tim Hardaway line? Hardaway's like, I invented the crossover. Iverson was carrying, and he like his comment was carried it straight to the Hall of Fame.
That's beautiful.
Let's get another drink.
Yeah, it's a good idea.
Cheers.
Cheers.
Hey, welcome back. We're drinking what are we drinking, Andy?
Modern Times beer. Fruitland, San Diego.
Another Goza.
Sour
beer.
Where's Modern Times? What part of San Diego?
They don't fucking put a map on the beer.
I don't know. Maybe they do.
Do I know San Diego?
I'm not looking
at
the beer.
It says San Diego.
Looks like Pacific Beach.
Yeah, see? Pacific Beach, motherfucker.
I guess they did put a map on there.
It says La Jolla.
Did it? I don't believe you. I feel like I've been to that brewery. I'm wearing a San Diego brewery right now.
I'm a big fan of Modern Times. I'm not a big fan of...
Of course you are.
Of most San Diego beer, because they do a lot of IPAs down there.
What do you think about Stone IPAs?
I don't like IPAs, so I don't like Stone. They're too hoppy, too hop forward. I'm not a fan of that bitterness.
Point Loma. It's from Point Loma.
That's nice. That's good to know. I'm glad you took us down that road.
Makes a big difference in things.
Entertain and educate.
So why don't you take us down another road, Samsonite? Where do you get your news? Tell me about that. Let's talk about some news. Because we've got a guest on our podcast today who's all about putting the news out in the world from Silent Majority This. So where do you get your news, Samsonite? And then we'll go on to him and see where have him shut you down and tell you you're getting it from all the wrong places. Because I already know you are.
I love it.
Usually just go to like fake news sources. I try and find pop-up websites like from Malaysia. Like fakenews.com. That's my favorite website.
That's my homepage.
The Onion. The Onion might be one of the most realistic sources.
It's crazy how that's become. Yeah.
It's crazy.
I like Reddit. You know, you subscribe to the right subreddits. One of the ones I like is Neutral Politics. I like that one. Like the default ones are pretty weak, actually. Like if you go to politics, it's super left.
Yeah.
And there's some pretty right ones.
The Donald
is pretty right. Although I will sometimes go to the politics and the Donald just to see like Donald Trump did something. What does the Donald think about it? What does politics? Oh, okay. Completely different points of view. Fine. But neutral news isn't as good, but neutral politics is pretty good. And they'll like delete posts if it's not like backed in like evidence and so forth.
Is it like r/science where like it's just a graveyard of deleted comments on every post? Because
no, they're pretty.
If something doesn't like is if something isn't a scientific reply, they delete that shit.
It's
and
not
so everything is deleted.
It's not that big of a sub because science is like a default sub, right?
Yeah,
it's not a default sub, so it's got like a few thousand subscribers, so it's not that overpopulated, but you get some decent.
Or you get that with Ask Historians is the other one, where like it's just a graveyard of comments that are gone that you
deleted.
Can never see.
Yeah, so usually what usually happens if someone posts and they don't have like a source, like the first comment is like, please update your post with a source. Like it's like an auto reply. So that one's pretty good. I mean, with that being said, sources can always be biased, so you kind of have to. I mean, I tend to like just. Literally, like, if I see something coming out, I'll, like, look at CNN and, like, Fox News and be like, what does CNN think? What does Fox News think? What does Wall Street Journal think? What is Economist?
Why do you go to all that trouble?
Like, there's no real good, because there's no good source right now. Maybe there is a good source, but I have no good unbiased source. I got to know what the people on the right think. Maybe I disagree with it. I got to know what the people on the left think. might disagree with either's point.
Kind of have to triangulate.
You got to triangulate. And like, my biggest concern right now is I feel like you probably have to like read bills and be educated, like, you know,
good
writing
because
bills.
Legislators don't
exactly
read bills.
Exactly. Like, if you actually want to know what people are voting on and what's going on, you probably have to read the bills, because I don't really have much faith in like unbiased reporting at this point.
But realistically, I mean,
so that's
what I'm going to do. That
that's what I typically just go to something on the left, go to something on the right, maybe watch a video if everyone's like up in arms about something, and be like, oh, why did this person say something? And then you hear about it, because a lot of times, like, you'll have just everyone like rah-rahing somebody or attacking somebody else, so you don't really get much of a perspective. You're like, oh, great, this person said this in Congress and they're so brave, and you're like, yeah, that's just kind of like rabble rousing, or like, you know, it's, you know, I don't know. I feel the discourse is kind of at a poor level at this point.
What do you think about Samsonite's shitty opinion?
No, I think I agree with him in terms of the editorial stuff. It's really, everything is so partisan right now that when it comes to any kind of editorial, no matter how, you're predisposed to sort of liking whatever's speaking to your innate
confirmation bias. Yeah,
it's the confirmation bias kicks in. So I think there's value in seeing what an informed opinion looks like on the other side. But I will say this, I think for really big kind of the dreaded MSM organizations, they really do have to stick more or less to the center in terms of the actual reporting. I'm not talking about the editorials, right? So if you're talking about like Reuters and AP and things of that nature, I think they're reporting on facts. And yeah, nobody's a blank slate when they write anything, right? But you at least, I think generally speaking, those type of organizations are more or less playing it down the middle. So I think right now, in terms of anything that's reported as news as opposed to an editorial, I want to be really specific about that. I think those kind of organizations are probably the most credible. I think anything that you see on TV, there's definitely a slant, right? We were talking before about, you know, CNN is not what it was, say, when I was in college. It's not what Fox certainly is, and neither is MSNBC. There's always a slant. At their best, there's always a slant. So,
I think Fox is moving more towards center, and CNN's moving more towards the left, right? Like they're both moving towards the left, kind of.
Yeah, right. I think also
MSNBC is just kind of chilling.
MSNBC is like, yeah, we've been here in the left for a really long time.
Yeah, exactly.
I think with the news point, typically, like, yeah, what's reported might be the fact, but keep in mind that the news organizations choose what news is news.
Well, I was going to say that. Right. That's the next thing. And so obviously,
they choose what to highlight.
They choose what to highlight,
right.
So, and choose what's on the front page,
right,
which
so
may be more or less to the left or to the right.
Right. And I think there's certainly value in saying if you go back to the last election and that's what people on the right were up in arms about, they're like, well, every article is critical of Trump and nothing's critical of Hillary, right? I mean, and that was driven by the fact that, well, Trump made, you know, he made better entertainment for these organizations in the sense of providing them more eyeballs and more ad revenue, right?
You're making a joke about The Onion earlier, and there's this article like by the fake CNN editor of The Onion, and she's like, you're damn right, we're posting pictures of Miley Cyrus like taking her clothes off because that's what gets ad revenue. And it's like, that's what it is. Like, that's a business. They're just there to get ad revenue. So if Trump's saying a lot of stuff, and whether it's positive in his light or negative in his light, they know that he's going to get way more eyeballs than, you know, Hillary Clinton screwing up eating a donut or something like
that. Right. Him eating this last election was sort of like when Howard Stern sort of, if you ever read the Private Parts, right, of the movie, but they were at one point sort of that moment of like, wait, his ratings are what? And wait, how many people hate him? And why do they keep listening to him? And it's sort of like that. I think with Trump, it was just, he was a goldmine for every news organization, because if you hated him, you still wanted to tune in because you just wanted to hate him more. You wanted to see what more ridiculous he was going to say.
The best thing that's ever happened to, like, the New York Times, Washington Post, their subscribers are, like, going through the roof right now.
And I think it was Les Moonves, like, the head of CBS, who said something like, I don't think he's very good for the country, but he's been great for CBS. Just because, I mean, their ad revenue.
Well, I saw some weird thing about the connection between Trump and CNN. Like, apparently
Jeff Zucker, they go way back.
Yeah.
They go way back. So
So even though Trump is like shutting CNN out of things, they're saying that that's actually, it's helping CNN. It's bringing bringing their profile up. So.
Yeah. Well, Jeff Zucker was the guy that bought The Apprentice.
Uh-huh.
And apparently the article I read is like, he was about to be on his fifth or sixth bankruptcy. Like, his brand was pretty tarnished before that resurrected him again.
So, but how do you get impartial news then? Like,
well,
where do you?
I think my thing is I
go to like the wire services.
Yeah, I think there's a wire services, and I do read the Post. I do read the Wall Street Journal, and I do read the Times. Although I think the Times for me, regrettably, I used to think they were sort of the standard, and I think they've just gotten way too left, even in the reporting, to kind of consider in that way anymore.
What about the other two?
Yeah, what do you think, Hilfiger and Whitman? White man. I mean, bring us the white man's perspective real quick.
I have to parse the news for a living. I won't mention what I do, but it's nefarious. I'd say Bloomberg is what I depend on.
Like the public most. Bloomberg, or you go like terminals?
Bloomberg Terminal.
It's a public Bloomberg.
Data.
Is public Bloomberg any good?
Public Bloomberg is pretty good, but I think there's a big lag. You don't get all the news articles.
It's the same stuff, though?
It's the same stuff, yeah. Yeah, but Bloomberg is fantastic. It's,
but how much is a terminal?
I think between $2,000 and $2,500 a month.
Yeah, that's why the dude's a billionaire.
Yeah. And he's very publicly anti-Trump, but I find their news seems to be at least factual. Mostly.
Yeah.
Real quick, let's talk about fake news. Do you think fake news came about because of Jon Stewart and The Onion?
No.
Is it a reaction to like these comedy news sources?
I think it just came about because...
And people thought, wait...
People
because
thought
remember
they
those polls for a number of years of like liberals that said that they got most of their news from Jon Stewart and
it's
his reaction
driven.
To that, all of it. Yeah, I know it's market driven, but they saw there was a market there.
Who's they?
For bullshit news?
Like Malaysian
came
or
up
like
with these,
Indonesia when they would create these.
Yeah, I think it came from overseas, and I don't think they would know.
You think so?
They just wrote words that they just were trying to get ad revenue. They've had these like web like bullshit websites for like. A long time.
Clickbait
websites, right? And even like it's worse than BuzzFeed type stuff, like clickbait stuff. And it's just market driven. So they realize like, oh, if I write like Trump is actually like a cheetah and like 50,000 people are going to go to this website. It's like, oh my God, Hillary Clinton is like the second coming of like, you know, Judas Priest. Then like, it's like, okay, yeah, cool.
Like I agree, it's totally market driven.
It's just market driven. It's like what
you look at that. You look at the bottom of every single article online. There is one of two things. There's either a Taboola or an Outbrain widget of six stories that are the most absurd. Fake stories you've ever seen in your life.
Uh-huh.
This is across the New York Times, the Washington Post, any major news publication. These guys have figured out how to make money, and it's all based on a CPC, which is a cost per click model. So the more crazy that headline is, the more likely someone's going to click on it, the more likely someone's going to get paid.
Look what she looks like and, now.
Yeah, I was just going to say,
The best is These 80s stars are now hot.
Yes.
Can't wait till you see 17.
Yeah.
So you're clicking through every single of these slideshows.
Right.
So I'm talking to a bunch of people who click on those links as well.
But I'm just saying, like,
I've been told this
is kind of gone under.
In the industry.
It's on article pages, so no one pays attention, but it's gone under the radar. And it's what these organizations, like, the amount of money they actually get paid from these companies.
Well, you're talking about, like, New York Times makes a lot of money out of this?
Absurd. Like, you look at, actually Google it, like, you'll see some of these contracts are over $100 million to have Taboola or Outbrain on their site.
Wow.
Over $100 million.
Yeah.
So it's like...
That's why I have an ad blocker.
That's where people are getting
you block
to
Origin,
these
baby.
Sites, and people don't realize it, and it's crazy.
Or it's like... You see these things where it claims to be some numerical drug or some numerical this person it's like a testimony from this person it reads like an article for them, right? But it really isn't. Once you open
it's just
it up
nonsense.
Well, no, but what it is a person starts talking about it, and then they'll throw in the product like two paragraphs in that this new, I don't know, whatever it is, just some new miracle drug, boom. And then before you know it, as you go down...
Oh, you're talking about like the full-on fake articles that look like real articles?
Yeah, and they're basically selling you the latest, you know, snake oil or whatever it is. And it always starts off as some, like it feels legit.
Was it The Atlantic that got in a big issue with that at one point? It was somebody who... It was like a Scientology article.
Yeah, it was The Atlantic. It was native advertising. So this is... The Atlantic got paid by Scientology to post some story about how great Scientology was and host it on their site, so it seemed like The Atlantic.
Right, exactly.
So you have a lot of that stuff now. And I see that with anything that seems to be kind of, whether it be like a medical fad or some kind of exercise thing or diet thing. Now it's in the guise of a testimonial or like, you won't believe what this, believe what this 90s celebrity looks like, right? So you think it's about that celebrity and they're going to talk about, you know, their what motivated them to get in shape or whatever. But all of a sudden, you're like, well, wait, this is okay. This is the second time this product's been mentioned. And as you get further down, before you know it, it's pretty much about where you can get the product, right?
Right.
That's it morphs into that. It's really clever the way they do it.
Yeah.
Because these things all read like a real article. So shady. Yeah.
Now, would you do that if Taboola gave you $100 million? To
yeah, let's talk. It was Taboola and who else?
Outbrain. I mean, these guys.
Well,
are...
Well, Taboola and Outbrain. If you're looking for somewhat another place to advertise with, let me just say that the Adults Podcast is always looking for advertising.
$100 million now. We don't need $100 million.
I mean, these guys.
Steve will take $100 right
and
now.
And I want to clarify that these guys are symptoms of a bigger problem.
Yeah, I'm totally
that right. These guys are. Like we're saying, no one gets a newspaper anymore. These publications that have like sort of provided the news to the public for a very, very long time are struggling, incredibly struggling. So they're looking for ways to make money, and they're doing things that are probably not in the best interest of their readers to stay afloat.
Yeah, and yeah. They're frankly at the kind of periphery of ethics almost.
Yeah.
But at the same time, if they don't do these things, like they're not going to be able to create news. And I mean, if you look at the news from some of these organizations that people respected over the last 50 years, like it's not, the quality is actually not at the same level that it was.
Yeah. Okay. Anything else?
That's a good wrap up there.
Let's get another drink. Cheers.
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 That's all a good right. Segment.
That's yeah. Good. You could go lighter for the next ones, but that was good.
We got a light one. What's
good light?
Is this light?
I like this. I don't know Taboola. How do you spell Taboola?
Yeah,
Taboola.
I mean, I'm getting into like stuff that I do.
You know, this no, one I do Outbrain. I've seen Outbrain. Sure. I've never heard Taboola.
No, and what's crazy is these two companies are gonna there's news right now in the last week that they're gonna combine because they're like two companies. They're $1 billion companies. They're gonna combine, and basically every article you ever go to, they're gonna have this shit at the bottom of it, and it's like people click on it all the time.
And it's really. It's really clever the way you do it on mobile because you're forced to kind of keep scrolling.
So mobile, yeah, because you have the big images.
I have one blocker. I don't get those. It's pretty
good.
Do
you use an ad blocker?
Yeah.
So here's the weird shit is Taboola pays the ad blocker
to whitelist them?
To not block them.
Yeah. Well,
they say more content.
Plus, they make a lot of money from that.
That's why he's U-blocker.
The ad blockers are a bunch of fucking...
Because U-blocker...
The ad blocker is the mafia. They're like, hey, if you pay,
but here's the thing. Then you just go to the next ad blocker.
Protection money. Yeah,
the ad blocking is a very simple business.
Yeah.
Right. So it's not that like then the next.
But,
then,
but like I think 90% of ad blockers are just ad block plus. I think on your personal browser they have all the business.
See, I don't even get anything on time because I have the ad blocker. Works pretty well.
So click on an article. Click on an article.
Pope Francis.
Wait. Go to the bottom.
See New York Times.
Oh, no, just Times. Time. You said time.com, right?
Yeah, go to the bottom of an article.
Yeah, there you go.
No, this is no. Here it is. Ideal Media is Ideal Media.
It's the same shit. It's all
okay. Right, so I'm getting
some other. Of course,
you'll see that stuff. Yeah.
Oh fuck, dude. Fuck you.
You
one blocker
is fucked.
One
you.
Blocker. One blocker let you down.
I paid $1.50 for that.
you know what you didn't pay? $100 million.
I was gonna say.
You got your $1.50.
You can have Sam's $1.50 or our $100 million. What would you? We'll take both of them.
Samsonite. I don't know just what you heard from me. I got a broke telephone. Everybody talking at me, baby. I'm gonna get dropped and end up right on the phone. 'Cause I'm bad news. Said I'm bad news. Yeah. Don't you hear me? I'm bad news. Hey, welcome back. We don't even have a fucking beer at this point because we're drunk and we didn't think about that, but we'll get one in a second. Anyway, in a previous episode, we talked about, we tried to guess the name of different groups of animals. So there was like a Murder of Crows, Parliament of
Owls.
What was the one for ravens?
Firefest.
No.
Was it the murder?
It was something weird. But now let's start taking groups of people and putting names to those.
So the people went to Firefest.
That was the one I was going to come up with, but you've stolen it. So what's your name for a group of people that went to Firefest?
Sad.
Sad.
What's it, lemmings?
Lemons? Okay. How much what was the average ticket from, like...
It was, like, something insane, like $1,000 to $125,000.
I mean, who knew Ja Rule didn't have operational efficiency?
I've heard that some people got them as cheap as $400. These people were just selling tickets to whoever they could at whatever price they could get.
It's like an auction?
There's a great article. There's a guy who worked on the production team and who quit 6 weeks before because he knew what was going to happen. And he quoted Ja Rule. I wish I could remember the whole thing. But
what'd you think about my baby?
So he said something like Ja Rule got in front of all of them and is like, here's to like partying like rock stars and fucking like porn stars. And he said one other thing and the guy was like, all right, I should have quit right then and there once he said that. From day one, he said they got out there, it was nothing but a gravel pit. And they had estimates, like, if you wanted to do what they wanted to do with it, it would cost, like, $50 million, and they should postpone it to, like, the next year. So apparently, quite a few people had been telling them that this thing was going to go the way it did.
Was it fraud or incompetence or both?
It sounded to me like it was complete hubris and just... Because at one point, the guy said that he was with some of the main organizers, and... They told him, like, this is not going to happen. You're not going to be able to pull this off. And the one guy's like, dude, let's just do it and become legends. Like, he honestly thought it was something that...
Just like if you got really happy about it, you could make it happen.
Exactly.
Well, I got a question. Do you think DMX could have pulled it off?
Oh, yeah, it'd be so much better.
No, I think... Because didn't Fitty win the... Ja Rule and Fitty back in the day.
Oh, they had big beef.
They had big beef, and Fitty won that. So
Fitty won the beef a long time ago.
So that's what I'm saying. So I think that's why Ja Rule kind of like his career just kind of fizzled at that.
You know the story about Ja Rule and Fast and Furious. Ja Rule was in the first Fast and Furious movie, and he got an offer to be in the second one. He's like, nah, man, I got too much going on. I can't do this. And so Ludacris took that. Now he's been in like, you know, $7 billion movies since then, and Ja Rule, you know, is doing Firefest and selling cheese sandwiches in the Caribbean.
Quick question about those movies. Who the F is watching
everyone,
movie?
Everyone.
Why would you watch Fast and Furious Part 8?
They're international films.
They're international, huge. I guess. Huge. They're dumb out there.
They're also good.
Yeah, they're pretty fun,
they're good
dude.
Sponsors sometimes.
No, they're fun.
They're good. They're fun movies. They're stupid, but they're good.
The characters are actually all pretty entertaining. They're all like, The Rock is funny.
It's over the top. Tyrese, it's stupid. It's basically ludicrous. A superhero movie.
But yeah. Every movie essentially is
it different? How's it different than a Marvel movie?
How's it different than Star Wars at this point?
Like, yeah,
Star
yeah.
Wars is like
it's got a following.
It's got the same plot. Like when the first when the
I, J. J. Abrams I'm gonna like I feel like Star Wars has a storyline running through it.
A legit acting.
I feel like here. These there's no is there a story and I don't know if there's a, is there a storyline running?
Yeah. Sure.
It's convoluted as fuck, but there is a storyline.
There is a storyline like Tokyo Drift. It's about family, dude.
Vin Diesel will tell you that in every fucking movie. It's about family.
I ain't got friends. I got family.
He's a car thief, but it's about family.
I live my life a quarter mile at a time.
What was that Nicolas Cage movie, Gone in 60 Seconds?
That was a good movie.
Is any of the Fast and Furious movies even half as good as that one?
Yeah, they're all better.
Really?
They're all better. Fast and Furious, Tokyo Drift.
Please don't invite Samsonite back for the next one.
What? Did you think Gone in 60 Seconds like the pinnacle of filmmaking?
It's an awesome movie.
Yeah, okay. It was like you liked his like
Robert
love for
Duvall
that.
Was in that one.
Eleanor.
Supercar.
I loved
Eleanor.
She was hot, dude.
Yeah. I think that summer, Fast and Furious
and
that
Duvall
movie
was in it. Like someone reminded us.
And Angelina Jolie was in it.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then nobody gave a shit about that movie. That movie has no cultural relevance
anymore.
That's
my Desert Island movie. I forgot to mention. I mean, fuck you.
I think Fast and Furious, I think I bucket that type of movie in with like scary movie.
Whatever, no.
Where it's like we know.
It's a genre.
We know. It's like we know if we put together this movie, we're going to.
It's formulaic.
So what do you call a group of Fast and Furious fans?
We're gonna make this much money. It doesn't matter how good it is. We're going to make this much money.
These old movies all have like 70% plus on Rotten Tomatoes.
Are you serious?
Yeah, they're highly reviewed since Fast 5. Yep. 5, 6, 7, and 8. Yeah.
70 plus?
When you're at up like 4 and earlier, no. But like the past ones.
Hey, I'm fact checking that.
Dude, that sounds like fake news.
Let's
do a little fact check. I will say my favorite is Fast and the Furious Tokyo Drift. Number 3.
I haven't seen any of them.
It's pretty good.
They sound like they suck.
The lead.
Yeah, that's why I won't see them. I'm just like
or Transformers.
Oh, you know why? Because I had a cousin who was like 17 who took me out to his front yard. He's like, look, dude, it's like Fast and Furious, man. Like, you show me his car, and it was the biggest bucket. But, like, right to him at that moment, that was, like, just the biggest thing in the world. I was like,
wow.
Okay, yeah, exactly. Like, I don't need to
see. I really thought that was going to be, like, a dark story where, like, your cousin died in a car race, and you're like, I can't watch Fast and the Furious after
that. No, cousin.
All right, I got the tomato meter on
under
Fast
50,
and,
come on.
Start at 5.
Start at 5. He did
Fast
say 5.
And Furious 8 is 66%.
All right, that's close.
It's close. I give him that. I can
still fresh.
Still tomato.
Yeah.
What do we got in the
you guys want 5?
Yeah, start at 5.
5, 6, 7, 8. Let's do it.
Damn, it's been 8 of these things.
We're at the 8 now.
$8 billion.
8 great movies, except for number 2 and 4.
Oh my God. You sound like quite the fan.
I mean, I saw the first one. I thought that was pretty good.
All right, but great is over.
Fast and Furious 6 has 69%.
Okay, I still can stand that.
Yeah. Fast and Furious 5, which is clearly the creme de la creme.
I'd say it is
the
creme de la creme.
77%.
Furious 7 is 79%.
What?
Furious 7, 79%.
What about Fast and Furious?
I have no respect for Rotten Tomatoes anymore.
Dude.
Why is it Rotten Tomatoes? They're just an aggregator, bro.
How do they make money?
The Fate of the Furious 66%. So they're in the 60s. They're all 60 plus. These are positively reviewed movies, brother.
What does Metacritic say? That's what I read. No, I'm kidding.
If Ebert was alive, he'd die again.
He probably would review it positive.
He'd take the easy way out. Yeah, he'd be like, kill me now.
What is Leonard
Maltin? You guys haven't even watched these movies.
How can I watch that?
You don't even know.
Is anyone
you know how you watch? You know how you watch? You sit down on the couch and watch the goddamn movie.
I will never watch a Fast and Furious movie unless there's copious nudity.
Have you watched?
Porn. Why would I watch that?
Have you watched any Arnold Schwarzenegger movies since he was governor?
These are Arnold Schwarzenegger like movies from the '80s. What they are.
Why would I watch any of Arnold?
Have you watched
movies?
Any Arnold Schwarzenegger?
Yeah,
you watched Commando.
Commando was awesome.
These are Commando. These are
the new
Commando.
I was 18 at that time.
So you
maybe even
watch
so
it again.
I think I was 18. Yeah.
You watch it again. Your dick gets as hard as it did when it was 18. When you're 18 years old. That's the whole point. When you see The Rock and how glistening he is. All right. Well, once again, the topic was
how much respect did you lost for both of these fuckers?
Like, these are entertaining. You haven't even watched any of these movies.
I agree with. What's your name over here, white man?
So you haven't watched this movie?
Hell no.
So what? Like, what do you watch? Just like Barney all the time?
We're men of a certain age.
We don't watch that shit. Exactly.
Barney the purple dinosaur or Barney Fife from Annie Griffith?
Which one do you think?
What were you going for with that?
Barney the purple dinosaur.
Oh, okay. Oh, by the way, we're drinking an Omegong.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
Siren Song this round. It's a darker beer. It's a stout.
I finished it.
I enjoy it. It's got a little bit of fruity. We're doing like a fruit flavored beer.
I like fruit forward beers.
Fruit forward beers.
Yeah. I like that flavor.
Excellent.
Enjoy it. So anyway, got anything else about what we should name certain groups of people?
I don't think we named a single group.
I was gonna throw out my name for people who went to the Fry Festival. The Fry Saken.
Fry Saken,
that's good.
Okay, I think that's it for this segment. Fuck it. So cheers, guys.
Cheers.
So Ja Rule was in the first one?
Yeah. And then he was like, fuck this, I've got better things to do. Which was true. He was right about the second one, and maybe the fourth one, but as soon as it hit 5, like, it took off from there. I don't What was it that reinvigorated that series? Like,
Tokyo Drift came out, they thought that the series was done, and then when Vin Diesel showed up with
a
cameo...
Is this the same beer?
No, it's a different one.
Apparently Vin Diesel showed up in a cameo, and everyone went nuts. Like, in the theater, there was, like, huge, like, applause and stuff. Like, people were super excited. Because he skipped the second one.
But he came back for the fourth one.
Then the whole gang got back together for the fourth one, and they started pumping more money into it. Because Tokyo Drift was about to be, like, a made-for-TV movie.
So Tokyo Drift was what,
third? Which one was the one that died? What's his name?
Paul Walker.
Paul Walker.
Like, very recently.
Yeah.
That was a couple...
It's been, like, 2 years now.
It must have been, like, 6 or 7, right?
At the end of 7.
Maybe
now that's a dude that basically
Alexa,
unfortunately bought
when did Paul
bought
Walker
into
die?
The
hype.
Into the hype of his own character
by trying to go out and race for real.
Yeah,
I think
2014.
I think
so,
yeah,
3 years.
Yeah, like bought into the hype of his own character.
Yeah.
Was he going too fast and something? Like, I mean,
he was racing with a friend. He was in a passenger.
He was going down like this, like
at
if you see the street, it's just like if he's going down
Huntington
like,
Beach,
Paso Robles here, like 90 miles an hour, mm-hmm. something like
that. That fucker could have killed people, dude.
Yeah,
well, he did.
I mean, he killed himself. Thank God, but not someone else.
Well, he was a passenger.
Oh yeah, Oh, was the guy driving was the one who was being a dumbass. Yeah.
Well, who knows Porsche, what he was saying at the time?
They sued Porsche for like lack of structural stability or some shit like that. I think they won money too.
It's pretty unstable.
It wasn't designed to go fucking 90 exactly. with a tree.
With a tree, yeah.
It's exactly. like the guy from Jackass too. Same thing. Like kind of you're pushing it. Like you're so you do that for a living. You're like I'm
what
fucking,
dude from Jackass?
Ryan.
Just OD.
No, he accident, high speed, like 120
in a Porsche. In a Porsche,
120 miles per hour.
That seems to be the car choice.
What's his name? Ryan, Bam Margera, and Ryan something.
What's
the last?
You can ask Alexa.
Ask Alexa.
Alexa's stupid. Smart. Alexa's dumb.
Alexa, who was in the cast of Jackass, the movie?
Jackass cast members include Bam Margera, Spike Jonze, Tony Hawk, Henry Rollins. And Ryan Dunn.
Ryan Dunn.
Alexa made it. Fuckers.
Wow. Dude, Henry Rollins. How about that?
I know.
Tony Hawk.
Pretty cool.
Wait, those four people got billing above Steve-O.
Johnny
Knoxville?
My brother just told me he saw Steve-O at a falafel restaurant last weekend, and he was yelling at the people because they didn't have dessert, and he said, "You're leaving money on the table here." You guys gotta have dessert. Gotta have it.
That's a pretty good Steve. Was it Steve?
Impression. My brother was like, it was like the coolest thing I ever seen. He was like trying to give him great advice because he's right. Like they don't have dessert.
Was he yelling at him or was he like kind of talking loud?
2011.
Yeah.
He died. And
what's our next topic?
Yeah.
Oh, the transfer.
Let's do it live, and you guys can shit on it on the air.
Okay, so, that's
perfect.
This sound like Tokyo Drift. I feel like Tokyo Drift. It's on Tokyo playlist.
This is a great forum. I love this.
Hey, we're back.
You have?
And we just decided to just go fruit balls of the wall. We're doing a cider with strawberry lime hard cider by Recordelig. It's a premium strawberry hard cider, 4.5% alcohol by volume.
Doesn't smell very good. It
smells like a cheese.
It's, yeah, but it tastes delicious.
It does taste good. Why does it smell like a cheese?
It's really good, yeah.
Yeah, it's like drinking a nice soda.
But I've never smelled cheese beer.
Yeah, well, you've never smelled a Recordelig.
That's true.
Product of Swedish spring water, served well chilled. Once again, Recordelig is a sponsor of this episode. I wish we had sponsors. But anyway, moving on. This is a drunken hypothetical segment. And Samsonite is clicking his pen into the microphone, specifically into the microphone, because he wants to see how it sounds, I assume. I mean, our topic of this segment is, who would win in a fight?
Can you hear the clicks?
Yes.
Yeah.
Into the...
Can you hear it in your fucking headset?
No, I can't. I can barely hear it.
You're destroying the show, dude.
It's okay.
What few listeners this show has just left.
It adds a rustic feel to the show. Well, our segment is, who would win in a fight? Optimus Prime or Cyclops for the X-Men. Now hear me out.
No.
Optimus Prime is a semi-truck sized robot.
Who?
Optimus Prime from fucking
Transformers. He's a robot.
Who
He's
would a robot fight? That Lindsay Lohan or Rachel McAdams?
I think that's a much better proposition.
I'd say Lindsay Lohan because she's nasty.
Rachel McAdams Rachel McAdams is taller.
But Lohan's nasty.
And she's on less drugs.
Do you think, okay, are drugs in this case a performance enhancer? Or
it's negative, because Rachel McAdams is probably healthier.
Isn't she clean now?
Well, Lindsay Lohan?
Yeah.
Nah, I doubt it.
BCG makes you really strong.
So, but I think Rachel McAdams has a longer reach, and she's probably more, like, physically talented.
Which one is Rachel McAdams?
She's the other one in Mean Girls.
Was she in,
She was in The Notebook.
Oh.
Okay. Yeah. She's taller.
Was she also in Wedding Crashers? Sister? Could probably. Yeah.
I think she'd win.
About heart, dude. Lohan's nasty.
Last time I saw Lohan, she's strung out on the corner. Like, she's probably, I think.
Lohan's going to bite her. She's going to scratch her. She's going to do.
Oh, so you think Lohan's going to be. I think McAdams is healthier.
McAdams will run all over.
What'd you say?
What is it about age and wisdom, dude? Like, we're on the same page here, dude.
I'm telling you, man. These youngins don't
know. I think McAdams is more health. It's like, come on, you don't
it's
want, like...
It's not about the health,
it's not about the health, dude.
Yeah, but you'd rather have Doc Gooden in the... You want Doc Gooden in the 90s or 80s?
So what's a good matchup? Like,
I think we just picked a good one, but I think we already picked it. We already...
Who was the male lead in Clueless?
Paul Rudd.
Paul Rudd, yeah. Okay, Paul Rudd. And who was the male lead in Wedding Crashers?
Vince Vaughn.
Vince Vaughn, Paul
Vince Vaughn.
Vaughn.
Vince Vaughn.
Yeah, I'm
I think
sorry. It's Vince Vaughn. Vince Vaughn wins.
That's a yes. dumb one.
That's a dumb
That's not close.
Hey, I was just going train of thought, fucking Kevin Bacon game.
All right, Kevin Bacon versus Jon Stewart.
Kevin Bacon, dude.
Kevin Why?
Bacon destroys
him. Jon Stewart sounds very intellectual to me.
Jon Stewart doesn't work out. Kevin yeah. Bacon works out for movies and yeah. whatnot.
Kevin Bacon's in shape.
Jon Stewart versus Steve
Donald
Carell.
Trump.
Who?
John Oliver.
Yeah, John Oliver no,
versus Jon Stewart.
You think like in a battle of wits or a battle of physical
no,
strength?
No, they're just full on cage match.
No one wins. They both lose.
You think?
I don't think European people know how to fight. Like, I don't think they've actually ever gotten into.
I mean, World War II went pretty well. Yeah, like, there was a lot of fighting
then.
Well,
there's no fighting after that.
I think they've got really sharp tongues and are quick, like, to say
they're witty.
Something. They're witty, but them. Like. I would take Jon Stewart in that one.
Do you think...
Have you seen soccer hooligans? Those guys know how to fight.
Yeah, they do.
That's true.
But Jon Stewart's better
yeah, but
teeth
I
than Jon
Stewart. I wouldn't put Jon Stewart in that group.
No, he's not English. I'm thinking of...
Those are like the Irish... Trump? Like the Irish guys who like... you guys seen... what's the Brad Pitt movie where he's like the...
Snatch.
Yeah, like those guys. I'm not going to fuck with those guys. But I'm saying the majority of Europe, like they're pretty soft.
Jason Statham or Vin Diesel?
Statham.
I go Statham.
Isn't Statham an actual martial artist?
Yeah, he is.
Oh, well, definitely him, though.
And fucking Vin Diesel plays Dungeons & Dragons.
It's all about the training. If you have the training, you can take on people a lot bigger than...
All right. Jason Statham or The Rock. Because
The Rock
has size.
No, I think The Rock's, like, soft, actually.
I agree.
The Rock played... football at University of Miami.
No, I'm not saying he's not an athlete, but I'm saying, like, he's not a fighter.
No, I think Statham.
Yeah, now he's
supposed
to be a bodybuilder.
What?
He was, like, a wrestler, yeah.
He was freaking...
WWF.
How long ago was he a wrestler, though?
That's fake wrestling.
He still wrestled. Hey.
It's not fake.
Wrestling's real, okay?
Let's say Russia, China, and North Korea decided to go to war against the U.S. The
U.S. would win in like 2 minutes.
You think it'd be that?
Yeah, it'd be like a slaughter.
I think it'd be
no.
Pretty
when it comes
three?
To nukes, no one wins.
Like,
everyone
pretty decisive. You think it'd be pretty decisive?
Yeah, completely decisive.
There's
why?
No way.
In what way?
Because those countries all suck.
America.
America.
I mean,
exactly.
I feel like U.S. pays more in GDP, like, per dollar than every country
yeah,
in the world combined.
If it was a conventional war, the U.S. has better weaponry.
It would have
but
to be
so nuclear.
So what,
it's
what,
not the same game.
What's the terms of this war?
It would
that's
have to be
I'm
conventional.
Asking.
But I mean, there's a lot of wild cards out there that aren't picking sides right away. Like, the whole
all
Middle
of
East.
Europe is going to pick the
Western
U.S.
Western Europe.
Yeah, the whole Middle East might not.
The Middle East probably will.
Israel's picking the U.S. The only country that has an actual military.
And the Saudis,
there.
Too. The Saudis and Israel have the biggest militaries, and Egypt have the biggest militaries. They're all going to pick the U.S.
Yeah.
Turkey, where does Turkey come down?
They might go.
Turkey's very anti-Russia. Turkey will go with the U.S.
Probably.
Okay. So we're good.
Yeah, we're fine. We don't have to worry about Russia.
Hey, quick question for anyone. Like, so if someone...
We're buddies with China anyway.
If someone shot off of, like, a nuclear missile, how long would it take to reach the U.S.? Ballpark.
Where is it coming from?
From
North Korea.
Asia? North Korea?
North Korea can't reach us yet.
Right now.
Saying if they had the capability.
I think it would take a few hours if I had to guess.
Would it take that long?
How long
if
do you
I
think it would
guess,
take?
Yeah.
40 minutes?
Yeah, like an hour maybe, yeah.
Probably, yeah. Probably a couple hours.
I mean,
what do you think?
I know it's like 25 minutes.
Okay, there you go.
It's crazy.
In
like
North Korea?
If they shot one off, 25 minutes it would hit in the U.S.
Do you think
why would it hit LA?
Would it hit the West Coast or would it hit
West Coast?
No, West Coast.
West Coast. Their reach is very like, it's basically California.
It would go from the Pacific, right, probably.
So, and then we could listen to Who Shot You by Biggie like maybe 10 times and then it'll hit us.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you'd have that last moment to like get your things in order.
Listen to Who Shot You.
Get your things in order.
There's no need to.
Everything's getting destroyed. It's like, who am I leaving?
Yeah, if you had 25 minutes, what would you do? If we knew we had 25 minutes right now.
So it's happening. Like
we just
found out.
I have to spend my last 25 minutes.
I have to spend
with
you guys
because
I couldn't make it home in time.
I could not make it home in time.
That would suck.
All right, let's go around. What are you going to do?
I just got really depressed.
I got super depressed.
This might get weird. What are we doing?
I mean, we're right here. Man.
Why did you start?
I just started masturbating.
I think, I swear to God, I thought the same thing. I think I jerk off and drink.
That's
pretty much
what I do. We can make it to the seat of
infinity. And I feel like that's... I feel like that's
7 minutes to get it off.
Yes, I think...
I do feel like that's like the... that's just the man thing to think. Like, I gotta get one last one out.
Yeah, I'd have to get one out.
I mean, it's otherwise so depressing to die around you guys.
But you're not offense to you guys. I'm not offended. Yeah, I feel the same way.
My biggest thing is, like, I just feel like I wasted 3 hours recording this podcast. I could be getting it on.
You're like, I could be home, but Samson, I dragged me out here.
Dude, 25 is plenty, dude.
So. 25 minutes, that's really depressing. No, but in all seriousness, I did hear that they're only 18 months to 36 months away from having that capability.
So what's our answer with North Korea, do you guys think?
I think some kind of preemptive strike is inevitable, and I think it's going to happen on Trump's watch. I've always thought we've been playing sort of a kick the can down the road diplomacy with them, but I think it's just going to come to a head. Why don't we just
stabilize the regime? Diplomacy.
I don't think you can.
What are you talking about?
The thing that Kim most wants is a stable regime. The thing we most want is for him to stop pursuing nuclear weapons. So we give him the deal. He stops pursuing nuclear weapons, and we draw down the sanctions.
We tried to do that before, and then he's started doing it on
the fly. He's testing in response to while crazy,
I think, like, he realizes the only thing that he's got for leverage is that.
Yep.
So put everything towards that, because you say, okay, all right, we're going to let you do your thing. We back off. He does his thing. And then, like, South Korea is like, well, we want to go back up and we want to take it. And, like, over time,
South Korea wants them back. It's too much of a humanitarian issue.
I think the end solution will be South Korea taking them back in.
Yes.
And I think he realized
that's not going to be in his lifetime. Well, it's going to be
But
that's
going to
be from the North saying we want to join the South. It's not.
I mean, what happened with Berlin Wall?
Yeah, it was the same thing. Yeah. East Germany said that they were open to unification.
Well, East Germany wasn't like the leaders of East Germany. It was the people of East Germany over, like, basically.
Right, but what I'm saying is the South will never preemptively go to the North and attack
them. So what happens if you have a power vacuum in the North, right? Let's say you go in there, you militarily basically take out that.
Best case scenario is you get a good general that ends up at the top of the heap that decides that they want to make a bunch of money by basically liberalizing
unifying.
Yeah.
But you know, the U.S. right now is we made some really good moves. We deployed like a THAAD system in South Korea. Which
we're charging $1 billion for.
Which we think we'll get $1 billion for. But I think that's a very early warning system. And over time, there'll be more and more like early preventative measures like put in there. I think that's our best hope, not regime change, because that's all longer term. Man, this guy's pretty young. It's pretty difficult to assassinate him or you don't know who comes in after.
Yeah, but I don't think this country can tolerate the idea of that guy having a missile that can reach here. So
So what are we going to do?
25,000 people in South Korea that are in range of his artillery?
Exactly.
Believe me, I'm not flipping about. I realize what you're saying, but it's a terrible choice, right?
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, every country looks after their own best interests, right? And this country's going to look after its own, which is there's certainly so you put the entire state of California at risk. Like, I think if you ask any American citizen, so we're going to write off 25,000 Americans or the state of California, I don't think anybody even thinks about that.
Yeah, but I mean, okay, what are the comparative odds of those two events? Of him actually launching a nuclear bomb on the western coast of
California? And he would be capable at some point. I mean, this,
he can't even launch it. He can't even make the Japan Sea.
Okay, but right now, let's say he's 3 years away. Let's say those estimates are accurate, right? Mm-hmm.
But are they? That's what they said about Saddam Hussein, weapons of mass destruction. We can't just assume something's going to happen and just go in and do this stuff, right? We got to have definitive.
And why
evidence.
Do you write off the idea that he's willing to step down the capabilities?
Because that historically it hasn't been a real option.
Look, he's been quiet for a long time. His dad didn't do anything for a long time. Why would he want to preemptively attack the United States now?
He's been pretty clear on what he wants to do.
But how has he been clear on what he wants to do?
He says he wants to attack America.
He just blames imperialist America for all his problems.
That's just saber rattling.
Yeah.
I mean, he didn't say that, but I'm saying, like, yeah, we can play the game of doing the math, but as soon as that happens, like, that's the worst thing. Like, I mean, it is so.
And I also think, yeah, that regime for me, I think if he certainly saw the sort of the house of cards falling around him, I don't think that's a guy that goes quietly into the night. I think that's a guy that just
That's why you have to silently assassinate him.
So I think that's just a dude.
That's why you got Jason Statham in there.
Or you stop their development.
You
got to
send
right
Jason Statham in there.
Right.
Yeah.
By with, stabilizing the regime.
Like, with Vin Diesel.
Which is what he wants.
Or Rachel McAdams.
I mean, look, if you look back at when they've done their nuclear tests in the past, it's always in it's always noise.
Hit him in a mall. Hit him in a mall.
These military exercises that we do at the same time around South Korea.
Absolutely.
It's a direct response to the military, and I'm not blaming us for doing the doing those things. But it's a direct response to puff themselves up and say, "Look, we're just as good as you guys. You guys are doing these military exercises. We can launch a bomb. We can test a bomb. And this is where we're going. It's all for show. It is just it's a paper tiger.
You think there's a way we could get Rachel McAdams?
Could she solve this? Do you think she could solve this?
Well, I mean, I like where we started. I'm thinking if we could get her into North Korea, is there a way that she could take him out?
Lindsay Lohan might do it for some meth.
I think so.
I mean, she might be a cheaper solution.
I think we can get them both in there.
I think we're
we get them like
all
northern North Korea and southern North Korea and have them both going at him. Eventually, they'll get him. I think we're in pretty good shape.
So I think we've solved pretty much all of the world's issues,
and
we've also decided that Cyclops would win in a fight between Optimus Prime and Cyclops.
There's no chance that Cyclops would win.
Cyclops
I'm just saying.
Optimus Prime is like an alien robot.
Well, Cyclops spent his pretty much entire life fighting robots. Have you ever heard of the Sentinels?
Yeah, but then the Sentinels won.
No, I've not heard of the Sentinels.
No, I don't think I have.
But it doesn't matter because we're done for the night. So.
All right.
Cheers to Rachel McAdams.
Here's to Rachel McAdams.
We're taking down North Korea.
Hey, thanks for joining us this week. Once again, check us out on Facebook and Twitter and all the other social medias. They're going to name a bunch of shit that nobody uses anymore.
MySpace.
But look for at Adults Podcast at those various sites. And then be sure to head over to iTunes and rate and review. It's really important because it drives new listeners to us. Then once you're done with that, head over to Silent Majority This with an exclamation point. And what do they got to do there, Jorge?
Go to silentmajoritythis.com.
Okay.
And that's the website. You can sign up for our newsletter there, too.
And be sure to click on whatever links are down at the bottom by Tableau. And what was the other?
It's not Tableau. It's Outbrain.
Taboola.
And Outbrain.
By the time you guys will hear this episode, they will have a $100 million deal with those websites. So click all those.
And Rachel McAdams will be the new dictator in North Korea.
Oh, Lindsay Lohan.
Head over to iTunes to Adults with a question mark. And rate and review. Thanks a lot. See you next week.
Ciao.
Dear Rachel, I know I sing out of tune, but I wrote this tune especially for you, because you've piqued my interest and now I'm in your will. Lost in a tempest inside my worried head. Dear Rachel, am I singing a little flat? I can't tell the difference, and that's a fact. But nothing matters anymore unless I see that smile. My heart is what you have torn when you laughed just like a little child. Dear Rachel, you are someone I cannot read, and I can't help but wonder if you can read me. If you can, then tell me, what do you see? I need to know, 'cause I can't let you be. Dear Rachel, though I'm young, I am one old soul, but the gap's too big. So I am told. Why don't you take my callous hand? Let me be your best friend. Against the world, we'll make our stand, be hand in hand until the bitter end. Dear Rachel, that's why I'm a depressed manic. And I don't know what to do to get my mind off you, my dear Rachel. And I don't know what to do to get my mind off you, my dear Rachel. And I've no clue just what to do to get my mind off of you, my dearest Rachel.